myself, and I will be ever only all for thee.
Good morning, everybody. All right. So I'm going to focus on King in the back booth for a second, but if I'm not projecting enough for our online viewers, just let me know, okay? All right. So welcome everyone in person to Southwest Central Service. I am not the minister of this church, but I'm filling in for Steve Sargent, who is at ACU Leadership Camp for our young ones. So also welcome to everybody online. And if you can see, let's see, if you're in person, make sure you fill out your cards in the back of the chairs. If you're visiting with us, welcome. And we will get started. I'm going to light our Christ candle and say a brief blessing over that. And then I will proceed to reading Psalm 22, 19 through 24. I succeeded this time. So proud of myself. Father, thank you for this Lord's Day and all the blessings within it. Thank you for the opportunity to be present with you this morning, to worship you, to know you, and to ask for your blessing to guide us throughout the rest of the week. In your name we pray, amen. Psalm 22, 19 through 24 states, "But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." This moment, I'm going to invite Jesse up to the front. He wants to say a prayer of blessing over our congregation.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day and happy Juneteenth. Let us pray. Father God, we come boldly before you in front of your throne, Father God. Thank you for waking us up to see another day, Father God. Thank you for putting food on our table, Father God. Thank you for bringing them in, Father God, into the kingdom, Father God. Father God, you said in your word, salvation, Father God, is free, Father God. So this church, Father God, will receive your salvation, Father God. Father God, I pray, Father God, and I cover the blessing over Pastor Steve and his wife and his children, Father God, and whoever's going down now, Father God, with them. Cover them with the blood of Jesus, Father God. And Father God, cover every one of us in this church with the blood of Jesus, Father God. And happy Father's Day to every one of them, Father God. Father God, you said, Father God, thank you for waking us up this morning, and thank you for laying us down at night. So, Father God, thank you for our healing, thank you for our prosperity, and thank you for having peace on us, Father God. And we have strong faith, Father God, that everything gonna work out. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before the throne of God above, have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who forever lives and bleeds for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is accounted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice and told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
All right, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. We're going to read Jesus' proclamation. So last Sunday, Steve Sargent preached on Luke chapter 4, where Jesus quoted about himself from Isaiah chapter 61. Throughout months-long series in Luke's gospel, we will, in one way or another, read aloud Jesus' proclamation as a congregation. This morning, let us read it together now. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, I shall not be moved. In confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Let's be seated.
Good morning. I'll be reading Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were there with him were astounded at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him.
All right, if all of our Roots Age kids could head to the back table. I know there's some activities back there. Well, today is a vibrant Lord's Day. There's a lot going on. Before I dive into the message, I wanted to mention a few things. First, happy Father's Day. I know Jesse covered part of this in his blessing. I'm so grateful for that. It's always encouraging to me to see that we have minds that are thinking alike and our hearts are in the right place. So we've got a wonderful group of men here at church. I just wanted to say I find joy in the fact that we have men here who all take part in being valued figures in our children's lives. Your positive influence is so important. When I come to this building, I look forward to seeing all of the interactions that my kids have with adults, specifically with our guys. Today is a very special Father's Day for Alex. This past Friday, Alex and I submitted our adoption petition to the Tarrant County Courts. So Megan's adoption into our family should be finalized within a few weeks. We had planned to have some sort of get-together, and we would like to invite all of you. I just need to figure out how that's going to work. Simply to say thanks for supporting us for so long by feeding you. Fellowship is always at the top of my list for things. Again, it's important. You'll hear some more when we get it planned out. Second, as Jesse mentioned too, today is Juneteenth. Happy Emancipation Day, also known as Jubilee Day. On June 19, 1865, General Gordon Granger and his troops enforced the emancipation of slaves in Galveston, Texas. 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued. May your day be blessed as we reflect on what freedom means and as we identify ways to fight for equality. Third, as you'll see on the screen, Steve and company are at Abilene Christian University for leadership camp. Up here on the screen, from left to right, you'll see Luke, Nico, Ruby, Cora, and then Cora's best friend, Olivia, and Lily, along with our ministers of this church. We're going to pray for them. I know Jesse already did, but we're going to do so again before we delve into Luke 5. Father God, thank you for our young ones. Thank you for their open minds, willing to learn to lead. And thank you for our ministers, Steve and Chelsea Sargent, who lead this church and are giving their hearts today or this week to be able to lead our children. We ask that you surround each and every child that's at that camp, every adult and leader. We ask for the openness for your miracles to happen. Keep them safe during their travels and help them have memories for times to come. In your name we pray, amen. All right, I'm done stalling. Luke 5. I've chosen to try to talk about this from a point of view of Simon, later in the passage known as Peter. Are you ready to step into Simon's sandals? You can even close your eyes if you want, but don't feel obligated. Even as a nurse, that kind of makes me feel nervous. People get dizzy, so do what you want. You're on the shore of the Lake of Gennesaret, known as the Sea of Galilee, weary from a long night that resulted in no fish, which would mean later there would be none to sell, none to eat, and even though you can smell that fishy old odor that's deeply embedded in your clothes. You look up while you're washing your net, and you see a large crowd coming towards you, and you spot him. You've met him before. He's the one who came to your house and healed your mother-in-law. You've also heard what he's done since then. He's near the front of the crowd, and as he continues to come forward, space gets pretty limited. You're starting to feel closed in. The crowd is continuing to crowd in. Jesus sees the boats and then looks at you, tilts his head to signal to your boat. He climbs in and says, "Let's pull out a little way from the shore." You pick up your oar or whatever you use to get out into the water. I guess you sail out or have a long stick. Anybody know how they use boats these days? I'm not sure. I wasn't there. Don't trust me. Anyway, you start heading out to where he wants to be. As you paddle, you take a look back onto the shore, the way it arches out into the sea. You think, everyone's going to hear him out here. With a tall ridge on the shore, it kind of resembles an amphitheater. His voice is going to project. You breathe in the humid air, a result of the hot sun beating down on the water. He holds his hand up to say that this is far enough out, and he sits down and starts to teach. You don't look back again because you are captivated. Even though you don't see the crowd, you don't hear a pin drop. You know that they're captivated too. They must be frozen too. You soak in every single word from him, this one who's willing to teach you the word of God. You start to feel it become a part of you, and you don't notice your own fish smell anymore. It doesn't matter. He stands up again and turns to speak to you. You're drawn out of your trance, kind of shake it off, and he says, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." You think to yourself, does he know that this is the worst part of the day to catch anything? And as a side note, does anyone remember fishing with your dad in the evening and nighttime? I know I do. It's one of my favorite memories of the day before church. And it was the best time to catch fish. I was better than my brothers. This is a side note. Back to Simon, you respond with a slightly implied rebuke, yet with a new title for this man that you've spent time with, signified for one with authority, Master. Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. You signal to your work buddies. You let down your nets into the water, and you set the boat to steer along the current to set the net in the right place. After a few seconds, you see a part of the net that is out of the water start to strain, and then the boat starts to tilt. You lean over the edge of the boat, and you see hundreds of flickers of silver shining in the sunlight. You lose your balance momentarily and fall back, and your buddies catch you. Once you're on your feet again, you wave your arms and signal to James and John, who are manning the other boat. They rush over fast as they can, and they help lift the net. You rig it to where half the net fills their boat and the other half fills yours, trying to balance it out, but it's still way too much. Both boats start to sink. The crowd is still watching, but that's the last thing on your mind right now. Your boat is sinking, but again, probably not on your mind right now. You, Simon Peter, now you are called Peter. You fall down at Jesus' knees. You say, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Your name changes. Your title for him changes. Everything changes. Everyone, including you, is amazed by this haul of fish. Jesus responds, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." It takes a good long while to haul those boats of fish to land. The moment you leave your boat and your sandals hit the shore, you're ready to follow them. The fish are left behind, everything is left behind, and you move forward to catch people. There are a couple of reasons why I like to expand on stories like this and place everyone in the story. I think it's important to soak in the imagery. We need to be able to see, to hear, to breathe, to taste, and to touch the presence of God. As a side note, it's also why I love American Sign Language. It's all about setting up the story. I also wanted to bring attention to Simon Peter's part in this message. Yes, this is about Jesus and how he called people to him, and it's about one of the miracles. But it's also about Peter's response to Jesus. It's about our response to Jesus. Simon experiences a total transformation. Everything has changed. Near the beginning of the passage, he's a hardy fisherman, tired from an unfruitful night's work. It's a perfect example of how God's calling doesn't come when we deem ourselves ready. Are we ever ready? It doesn't come with a hearty meal in our stomachs and a full night's sleep. He calls us when we feel like we've done all that we can do, when we are tired from all of the work that has been done. I think that's one of the miracles in itself, because it adds to the awe of inspiring moments that come next. Simon's transformation starts when he rows Jesus out into the water, a sign of trust in Jesus. He gets a front row seat to his teaching. The moment builds, his trust builds. Jesus' teaching inspires him to cast out the net, even though there seems to be some doubt since it's broad daylight and there should be no fish. Suddenly, the fish are sinking the boat, and the moment happens. He falls at Jesus' feet and confesses that he's a sinner, not worthy of being in his presence. Jesus responds by calling him to catch people, and he is now Peter. Peter responds completely and leaves everything to follow him. There's another part of Peter's response that's crucial. There are witnesses to his submission, James and John, and the crowd. Although James and John were also called by Jesus and saw the miracle of fish before them, I tend to believe that they followed Jesus too because of Peter's response. I'm just curious, does anybody else think so? This is the first indication of Peter as a leader, later known as the rock whereupon Jesus built his house. Peter already finished and caught two people because of his immediate and intense response to Jesus. Intense. This past week, I received a stark reminder that leadership is a high calling. I've been physically present at work, but I haven't been emotionally present for a while, and people are noticing. It's been 2.5 years of intense, unrelenting work, all while wearing a mask. His call still comes, even through overtime shifts, through sleepless nights with one or the other sick kiddo, or whatever might be going on at home. In fact, these are the places where I feel him the most intensely, where I'm the most raw. Where do you feel him the most intensely? In fact, these are the places where I want to be more like Peter, don't you? I want to take action and make sure that I'm emotionally present when I lead, when I fish for people. The best way to do that is to follow Jesus. Simply follow Jesus. He tells us, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because if I know to if I strive to follow Jesus, I'll be where I need to be. Jesus calls us to leave our boats, leave who we once were behind, and be renewed in him. If you're ready to respond and follow him like Peter did, We are here for you. I feel compelled to walk to the back, and I know this is something that we haven't done in a very long time, and I know I'm catching Brent off guard, but we're going to do prayer groups, so I'm going to be open to pray with anyone who would feel to like or like to pray. If you'd like to join me in the back and be available for somebody, please do. And you're also invited to come forward if you need to as we stand and sing. And silence is okay, I promise.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, also highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became pure. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. As we do every Lord's Day, we have the Lord's Supper prepared. If we can have a volunteer to help me, we will serve and we will take the Lord's Supper together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. You are our reason for being. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. As we take this emblem of the sacrifice that was made for us, help us to remember what you have done for us and that we are yours. We love you. We depend on you. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Going to take this opportunity now to return to the Lord just a fraction of what He has blessed us with. Heavenly Father, take from our hands the bounty that you have given to us. May it be used in your work. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
All right. So we're going to start family members. I'm going to ask matters. I'm going to ask Lisa Waltman to come up and just talk a little bit about her class, if that's okay.
So what's next in room 106? Great question. So we're going to do 8 weeks of study for this next session. And the theme is studying the many faces of God, basically the different characters of God through Scripture and how our ideas about those characteristics of God shape and mold our practice as Christians. So this morning we'll be looking at God as creator, and we have other themes going forward like God as the Almighty, God as Redeemer, God as Father, God as Mother. These different aspects of the same God, and how these mold and shape us in our lives. So I hope you'll join if you're able. Like I said, it's 8 weeks and then we'll move on to something else.
Thanks, Lisa. We're looking forward to it. All right, so our Bible classes this morning, the preschool class we have in the Roots Room with Miss Bonnie, our elementary school class we have in room 108 with Miss Martha and Miss Stephanie. The teens, I'm not sure if I have teens this morning. I'll be upstairs, but I'll probably join the adult class. I think we're all on vacation. And then we also have our adult class in room 106 and also room 101, studying Job. Here in the auditorium, we're studying the book of Revelation. And then one near and dear to my heart, the prayer room, is also during class time. All right, is that it for our announcements this morning? I guess it is. All right, I'd like everybody to stand for our benediction. Do not be afraid to leave your boat. God has all of us. And he's going to take that smell of fish away. He's going to renew us, and he's going to help us continue to catch people. May you be blessed this week as you continue to focus on that. Amen.